Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name's Renee Lavallee McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person, turned therapist and shamanic healer, to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about the 4,000 weeks of the average human life. And I came on this concept or idea through the book 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. Now, Berkman says that the average human lifespan is abysmally brief. Living to be 80 years old gives you around 4,000 weeks. And I personally think that 80 years is a pretty long time. And you'll have to read his book to hear more about what Oliver has to say about 4,000 weeks, but I found myself very inspired by the concept, particularly since my 60th birthday is approaching, which, if I live to be 80, 52 times 20, is 1,040 weeks left. And although I'm not much of a numbers person, one of the really beneficial things about time and calendars is that they give us a concrete container for this very mysterious thing we call time. I moved to Manhattan about 20 months ago so that my daughter could finish high school here and we could have a girls' adventure together. She's going to graduate from high school in May and go off for the summer and then go to college in the fall. And that will be the end of my daily child-rearing responsibilities, motherhood being one of the richest, most profound, and life-changing experiences that I've had. And it's not over, but it's going to change dramatically in about 2 months. And one of the gifts of knowing that things are going to end is that it can offer us the opportunity to more deeply appreciate the remaining time that we have. It's one of the things about going on vacation. In fact, the first week that we visited New York, almost exactly 2 years ago now, when we decided that it might be an awesome idea to move here, is that I was incredibly present with the energy on the street, the beauty of the buildings, the magnificence of Central Park. And although I still try to appreciate those things every day that I'm here, I have to be honest, many times I take them for granted. Just like it's very easy to lose perspective that this precious time with my girl is a particular moment and it will never be repeated again. And honestly, that fact is true for every moment of our life, each of which is unrepeatable. Sometimes we're really glad about that. But this idea of 4,000 weeks in a life, for myself, that I have hopefully a good 20 years or another 1,000 weeks, but there's no guarantees. And I recently did a podcast on using your time efficiently, number 205, Timecraft, Hacks for Productivity, because as a self-employed therapist, teacher, and content creator, my to-do list never gets done. And particularly as I move onto social media, been having a lot of fun with my new YouTube channel. It's exciting to get new subscribers, but how many is enough? When do I feel satisfied? What does finished look like? That's a very interesting question that a business coach recently asked me. And so most presently, I have these 2 months left of day-to-day living with my daughter, and I have give or take, hopefully 1,000 weeks left here in this human form. And how do I want to spend that time? Because that's really what we get here in a human life, is we get the gift of some amount of time. And whether we're consciously aware of it or not, we have the free will to choose how we will spend it. And those choices of how we spend our time determine our experience of this life and how we positively or negatively impact or affect those we come in contact with, and the larger system, because we are all playing a role here. I think of my client Jason in Tokyo. I introduced him to inner journey work as a source and a resource for guidance, empowerment, and information, really added to his personal Reiki practice. Brilliant young man, speaks 3 languages. His English was better than mine. His hobby was breakdancing. And he was a deeply spiritual and, my instinct is, gifted energetic healer. But he worked a tech job. And although it was unfulfilling, it paid the bills. Tokyo is not a cheap place to live. And certainly fulfilled his parents' expectations for him to live a quote-unquote successful life, which for many people means working a job that they don't really care about, to pay for a lifestyle that's culturally approved, and to secretly hold dreams that may never come true. And through our work together, he came in connection with the spirits of nature, his own higher wisdom, and some potent Buddhist deities, including the goddess Tara, who encouraged him over and over again to step onto the throne of his own power and be the emperor of his life. And that was quite a horrifying and humbling idea for him. Japanese culture in general being very humble, much different than in America. But he kept coming up against a wall. And on the other side of that wall was spiritual engagement, connecting with nature, working with energy in these ways that he only did in his spare time. And the narrative that he told himself was that all of those experiences and activities that really made him happy, he would do those after he retired, once he had worked this unfulfilling job for another 25 years. And Jason himself introduced me to the Japanese concept of ikigai. And this is a Japanese term that blends two words, iki, meaning to live, and gai, meaning reason. And ikigai translates to a reason to live. And this concept encourages people to discover what truly matters to them and to live a life filled with purpose and joy. And tragically, many of us put that off into some distant future and waste many of our precious weeks here on meaningless tasks and draining day-to-day activities. And in our last contact, Jason had started to take classes in a more advanced form of energy medicine, and I think was preparing to tiptoe up the ladder and peek over that wall that was really of his own making. And I recently came on a very interesting media post about the three deathbed wishes of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great was only 32 years old when he died, so he only got 1,664 weeks. And if you don't know who he was widely considered to be one of history's greatest and most successful military commanders. He was king of the ancient Greek kingdom of Macedon, and he succeeded his father to the throne at the age of 20. He spent the next 12 years conducting a lengthy military campaign basically through the known world, through Asia and Egypt. In fact, the city of Alexandria in Egypt is named after him. And by the age of 30, he had created one of the largest empires in history, stretching from Greece to Northwest India. And lore goes on his deathbed, and sources suggest he died of alcoholism and strychnine poisoning. Somebody poisoned him. But anyway, on his deathbed, Alexander the Great summoned his army generals and said, "I will depart from this world soon, and I have three wishes. The first, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin. The second is I want my wealth to be scattered along the procession to the cemetery. And third, that my hands should hang outside the coffin for all to see." And Alexander's favorite general kissed his hand and said, "O king, we assure you that we will fulfill these wishes, but tell us, why do you make them? They are so strange." And Alexander said, "I want the doctors to carry my coffin to demonstrate that in the face of death, even the best doctors in the world have no power to heal. I want the road to be covered with my treasures so that everybody sees that material wealth acquired on earth will stay on earth. And I want my hands to swing in the wind so that people understand that we come to this world empty-handed and we leave this world empty-handed after the most precious treasure of all is exhausted, time." Great story. Have no idea if it's true, but it's worth repeating because of its wisdom. And I recall the story of John Murphy, nice Irish fellow, union electrician, worked for 35 or 40 years every day, got himself an excellent pension, good health care, fat retirement account, and he and his wife bought a big camper, and they were going to travel across the country. In the last 2 years that he was working, he talked all the time about where they were going to go and what they were going to do. And honest to God, within a month of his retirement, he had a heart attack and dropped dead right in the front yard. Needless to say, they didn't get to take those trips. And one of the things I'm really glad that I have been able to teach my daughter is the power of choice and creative opportunity. And when we decided to leave the high school she was at in San Francisco, kind of fancy, prestigious Jesuit affair, I told her, listen, we have lots of options. We can emancipate you and you can go off to beauty school and then get your GED when you're 18 and go to college. You'll always be able to get a job in the beauty industry. You can live with your dad and go to that big public high school out in the suburbs. Or maybe something else will happen. And on this vacation to Manhattan, I had the idea we could change everything and have a mother-daughter adventure. So I gave up my life in San Francisco, emptied out all the stuff, gave most of it away, really, out of my four-bedroom house. And we found a wonderful little school here for her. Socially wonderful, academically, but anyway. Got this great corner apartment in the Upper West Side. We always have options to create positive, constructive change in our life. But we often need to be open-minded and willing to let go of the limited ideas of what we believe is possible and our fears about what we think we need for the future. But the clock is ticking, and I'm going to tell you, I am definitely reconsidering my relationship with these checklists that I make for myself that are never completed, and spending even more time and energy doing the things that I really want to do. I don't think anybody lays on their deathbed and says, I wish I spent more time at the office. Life is not a dress rehearsal, and I encourage you to live as if your life depends on it, because ultimately it does. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please share it with a friend. If you'd like to find out if a block of spiritual psychology work might benefit you in your life, shoot me an email, info@reneemckenna.com. We'll set up a free discovery call. Check out my free download, 10 ways to know if you need to do shadow work. And you can pick up a copy of my awesome shadow work journal. If you want to start to do some inner work on those walls that keep you blocked from your own best life. Deep gratitude to my supporters on Patreon. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.